Good morning and welcome. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Today we have three services, and tea and coffee will be served between the morning services and after the evening reflective service. Today we welcome Phil Crump, who is leading this communion service. Thank you, Phil. Pastoral news. Leslie has completed the first week of her mammoth walk. From her Twitter feed, she has short... Oh, is that better? Oh, yeah, it echoes a bit. Do I need to say anything again? Great. So I was speaking of Leslie, who's completed the first week of her mammoth walk, which I will remind you is her holiday. From her Twitter feed, she's got sore feet now. But today is a rest day, and Ray is with her. It's good to see Jason Lee here today, who's up on the balcony going high. Who's on leave for a little while, aren't you? Thank you. Today is Kingston Carnival Day, and the carnival starts at 12 and we'll be passing the church here about 12:30, or around that time. And events will continue in this area until 7 p.m. So if you come in your car, don't worry, you can hang about and enjoy the time. Next Saturday evening is the Christian Aid quiz, and tickets cost £10. And do come along, bring a team or just yourself. It's always a good evening. Next Sunday in the morning is the church's AGM, so please stay to the meeting if you can. And finally, Liz Bartlett would like to say something.
Well, we're in the thick of preparations for this wonderful singing day on October the 6th, which has now got the title Hymn Fest, and you've guessed why, because we're going to be singing lots of hymns. We're going to be singing a lot of the music that we use in church with people from other churches. So we're hoping to host a lot of other people who join us. We're going to be led by Peter Bullitt, who's actually the organist of New Malden Methodist Church and a very fine organist. He's going to be accompanying us, as well as our band and the band from Kingston Methodist Church. So we're going to have a wonderful combination of, I think, our two traditions, but we hope there will be people from all the Christian churches. I wonder if you would be kind enough to sign a sheet, either one at the back or in the Mayo Hall. It says Sing Fest, nice and big on it. If you're coming, it would be helpful to us so that we can estimate numbers. Thank you.
Good morning. There's a quiet understanding when we're gathered in the Spirit. It's a promise that He gives us when we gather in His name. There's a love we feel in Jesus. There's a manner that He feeds us. It's a promise that He gives us when we gather in His name. So we'll commence our worship with hymn number 45, Morning Has Broken.
Thank you.
I must first of all apologise. I had overlooked the fact it's the first Sunday of the month, Holy Communion service. So when we come to the fourth hymn, it will be different to the one on your service sheet. And we will, of course, celebrate Holy Communion. So let us now have a time of prayer. Almighty and all-loving God, we come together in the name of the living Christ to confess our faith, to acknowledge your goodness, to celebrate your love, and to commit our lives afresh to your service. Greatly you have blessed us. Joyfully we worship you. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you, this time set aside week by week, this place of fellowship where we share something of your love. And above all, we praise you for the assurance we have that as we meet together, you are here amongst us. Greatly you have blessed us. Joyfully we worship you. We thank you for your great love that has searched us out and enriched our lives, and for your care that constantly surrounds us through joy and sorrow, hope and fear, light and darkness. Gratefully you have blessed us. Joyfully we worship you. You have given us so much to enjoy and celebrate, to excite and thrill, to explore and challenge. We thank you for loving us before we first love you. We come before you with joy and gladness, singing your praises. But we come too conscious that we've not always appreciated your love. We lose our way. Perhaps we are slow to thank you, yet quick to ask for more. Dissatisfied with what we have, yet wasteful of the resources you have given us. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us for our failures. Forgive us when we forget your presence, or our hearts become temporarily closed to you. When we come to worship with no enthusiasm or expectation, more out of habit or duty. Lord, we have committed our lives to your service. Forgive us when we fall short. In your mercy, hear our prayer. And we offer our prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now I need four young volunteers. You don't have to do anything, just come out and volunteer. Yes, all right, well, two can go together. That's all right. If you'd like to face the front, stand. If you two would like to change places, please. And I want a third one here, and the little one with her friend here. Sister, right. Okay. I remember doing this here many years ago. One or two might remember this. Let me just get my script. Ha ha ha. You have a hat to wear. Do you want to put it on? I am a lady. Look at the front. I am a lady. I'm married to Lord Kingston, so that makes me a lady. I hold bridge parties at our mansion, and I'm chair of the local women's institute. I am in a position of superior place in society. I look down on them because I am a lady. Now, this is where you have to act, because you're a man. Okay? Could be a woman, actually, couldn't it? I'm a self-made business person, a high flyer, having worked my way up from the factory floor. I have a 6-bedroomed house with a swimming pool, actually 2 swimming pools. I give to charity. Only recently I paid £1,000 for a painting at a charity auction. Mind you, I know that painting will be worth 5 times that much in 4 years' time. I look down on them, but sometimes it pays to look up to her. Sorry about this, any West Ham supporters here? Actually, there is a Chelsea's lady team who did win the Ladies League this last year and the Cup. So you are a professional footballer. I am a Chelsea footballer. I earn £100,000 a week. You can see my mansion, my 3 Porsches. I look down on everybody. Except maybe my Italian manager. I look up to him when it suits me. No. This is the lady. I know my place. But aren't you in the Samaritans? And don't you do the shopping for the elderly lady next door? And aren't you the brown owl for the local girl guides? Maybe, just maybe, they should all be looking up to you. Okay, thank you very much. I'll take your hats back. You may sit down. Thank you. That's the introduction to the theme. You don't judge by people's position in society or how much money they have. You judge the person as they are within, as God does. Now let us have our first Bible reading, which is from James chapter 1.
Every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by turning. By his own will he brought us unto being through the word of truth, so that we should have first place among all his creatures. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. Whoever listens to the word but does not put it into practice is like a man who looks in a mirror and sees himself as he is. He takes a good look at himself and then goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But those who look closely into the perfect law that sets people free, who keep on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, but puts it into practice, they will be blessed by God in what they do. Do any of you think you are religious? If you do not control your tongue, your religion is worthless and you deceive yourselves. What God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering and to keep oneself from being corrupted by the world.
Thank you. Our gospel is from Mark chapter 7.
Some Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples were eating their food with hands that were ritually unclean. That is, they had not washed them in the way the Pharisees said people should. For the Pharisees, as well as the rest of the Jews, followed the teachings they received from their ancestors. They do not eat unless they wash their hands in the proper way, nor do they eat anything that comes from the market unless they wash it first. And they follow many other rules which they have received, such as the proper way to wash cups, pots, copper bowls, and beds. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why is it that your disciples do not follow the teachings handed down by our ancestors, but instead eat with ritually unclean hands?" Jesus answered them, "How right Isaiah was when he prophesied about you. You are hypocrites, just as he wrote, 'These people say, says God's honor, me with their words, but their heart is really far away from me. It is no use for them to worship me, because they teach human rules as though they were God's laws. You put aside God's command and obey human teachings.'" Then Jesus called the crowd to him once more and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing that goes into a person from the outside which can make him ritually unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean." And he went on to say, "It is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean. For from the inside, from a person's heart, come the evil ideas which lead him to do immoral things, to rob, kill, commit adultery, be greedy, and do all sorts of evil things: deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from inside a person and make him unclean."
Thank you, Catherine. Let us sing hymn number 108. It doesn't look quite right. What's we can sing that one if you like. The love of God. It depends what Nigel can do. Meant to be "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," 413. Oh, sorry, I've gone and announced the wrong hymn. So I'm like, shall we, which one do you want to play? The love of God. Yeah, 413, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I beg your pardon. We need some words.
Thank you.
Sorry about that mix-up, my fault. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is telling us that worship and following him is not about following procedures or rituals, ritual washing of your hands before worship, or eating certain foods off certain plates, etc., but about acting according to the spirit of the laws. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were hypocrites, in that they professed to be very holy, publicly following all the prescribed rituals as developed from the laws given to Moses, but the spirit of loving your neighbour was absent from their mindset. The author, Eddie Askew, in writing about today's gospel reading from Mark, talks of the enemy within. He tells of an American soldier in the Vietnam War who witnessed many scenes of atrocities committed by the Viet Cong. The soldier explained how it was hard when capturing any of the enemy not to want to violently take it out on them, give them harsh, violent punishment. He said, "We didn't fight the enemy, we fought ourselves, the enemy within." Perhaps that is what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Love your enemy." Treat everyone as you wish to be treated yourself, despite the circumstances. Do not thirst for revenge. Outward signs of faith are good. Wear a cross if you like. Talk about church. Jesus asks us to be aware that sometimes our natural emotions need to be checked. They can get out of control. What comes out of our mouth, what we say, can be positive or can be very damaging. In Jesus' words, it is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean. For from the inside, from a person's heart, come the evil ideas. It's the same with our looks. A lot of advertising in the media is about how we look, and we all hold stereotypes of how we view people. I haven't seen the TV program Love Island, but it seems that, no, I haven't. But it seems as though it relies a lot upon how beautiful people look. Agatha Christie novels are full of blustery retired colonels, quaint little old ladies, and obviously irresponsible ne'er-do-wells. The twist in the tale is when the murderer is disclosed as one of the supposedly respectable people. I remember at Richmond Theatre many years ago, there was a homeless-looking man as we entered, sitting on the steps outside with a cat beside him, posing the age-old question, "Do I put some money in his cap or calm my conscience by knowing that I contribute to shelter and to Kingston Church's action on homelessness? Will he just spend the money on drink or drugs?" A few people gave money, many didn't. The twist was that the man wasn't homeless at all. The curtain rose on a modern production of Macbeth, showing a number of homeless people sitting around the fire, including the actor who'd been on the steps. He was one of the actors. They later announced that the money collected would go to a local charity. It is the person that counts, how we are and behave, not how we look or outwardly promote ourselves. What we say and do reflects the inner person. When Samuel was seeking to choose the future king of Israel, God told him, "Pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge as a man does. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart." A shout echoes down the street. A group of youths run off, leaving one young man lying on the ground. The road is empty, but soon the church minister walks by. He sees the prostrate figure on the ground. "No doubt a drug addict," he thinks. "Nothing I can do." He is late for the prayer group. He hurries by. Well, prayer is important. Soon a smartly dressed local lady magistrate comes by. She wrinkles her nose in disgust. She is known for her harsh sentencing of offenders. She scurries off without a further thought of the young man lying in the road. I'm not getting involved with him, she tells herself. Later, a scruffy homeless man in a sweatshirt comes by. He stops to check the young man out. The young man stirs. There is blood on his shirt. It could be he's been stabbed. The homeless man finds a smartphone in the pocket of the wounded man. He phones for an ambulance and the police. And then takes off his sweatshirt and uses it to staunch the bleeding until help arrives. You all recognise the story. It can be easy to avoid putting yourself out because it's inconvenient. It can also be easy to make a judgment based on someone's appearance. The person on the ground could be suffering from drug use, but he would still need help. It's easy to imagine the worst of someone. I think I might have told this next story here a way back. Some people might recognise it. Before I specialised in mental health as a social worker, I did a bit of everything. I'm now, you might have guessed, retired. I was once in an evening primary school concert to support a mother whose little girl was in the show, partly to ensure the mother actually made it to the show to watch her needy daughter. After the show, I was introduced to the teacher as a friend. Understandably, the mother didn't like to say I was a social worker, so she introduced me as a friend. 3 weeks later, I was at a meeting at the school to discuss concerns about the family. The teacher was talking about the poor morals of the mother, how she brought a scruffy, unshaven man to the school show, no doubt one of her dubious boyfriends. The scruffy man was, of course, me, dressed casually rather than for work. And I only shave in the morning, so maybe I was a little bit unshaven. The teacher's perception was coloured by her assumption of the stereotype boyfriend she expected to see. Something similar happened when on a small council estate, a client complained to me how Mrs. X had all her bills paid by social services. How does she get away with it? Also, while her husband is out, she regularly has a man in his little green Hillman Imp parked outside. I explained that I was the driver of the Green Imp and that she certainly didn't get any financial help from the social services department. Again, assumptions and judgments. We all hold stereotypes. The difficulty is in seeing through the assumed characteristics of the person and understanding the real person inside. God looks at the heart, at our inner thoughts, feelings, and motives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall inherit the earth. The more we take the time to see the person, the more we automatically will be showing her or him respect, and consequently will be more supportive. Then the more like Jesus we become. Jesus talked with people, listened to them, respected and supported them. People from all walks of life, wealthy or poor. He even ate with those rip-off merchants, the tax collectors. There's a poem, "Don't find fault with the man who limps or stumbles along life's road, unless you have worn the shoes he wears or struggled beneath his load. There may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden from your view. The burden he bears, if placed on your back, might cause you to stumble too. Don't be too hard on the person who errs, or pelt them with wood or stone, unless you are sure, yea, double sure, that you have no fault of your own." So I'm going to finish with something also not of my own writing. Money can buy a charming house, but only love can furnish it with the feeling of a home. Duty can pack an adequate packed lunch, but only love would decide to tuck in an extra little treat. Money can buy a television set. But in a family, love controls how much it is watched and what is watched. Obligation sends a child to bed on time. But love reads a little story, tucks the covers in just right, and passes out kisses and hugs. Obligation can cook a meal. But love embellishes the table, it says, with a potted ivy trailing around scented candles. I can't say I've ever tried that, but maybe putting a rose in a small vase or something is the same principle. Duty writes a letter to a child who is away, but love tucks a joke or a picture or some chocolate inside. Compulsion keeps a sparkling, tidy house, but love and prayer produce a happy family. Duty is easily offended if it isn't appreciated. But love learns to laugh and to work for the sheer joy of doing, giving, and contributing. Love is always the icing that transforms the ordinary to the truly delightful. And the writer goes on to say, add a big dose of love to whatever you do today. If we have love in our hearts, then our inner person will be pleasing to God. And what comes out of our mouths and the actions we take will reflect that. We will see the person, not the stereotype. We will be acting in the spirit of the law, as Jesus taught us. So, a big dose of love to whatever you do today. Amen. And now for our prayers of intercession. Blessed are you, Lord our God. You give us life and love. We rejoice in your presence as is ever with us. And we give thanks for the offering of Jesus on the cross, which we will remember when we celebrate Holy Communion. May we remember that he comes to us and asks us to offer ourselves to him. You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for all who show a radiant faith, those who show that in your presence is the fullness of joy. We pray for all who preach your word and administer the sacraments. Lord, with your presence and the joy of knowing your love, we pray for all who are homeless, hungry, or unemployed. We remember the deprived and poor peoples of our world, people living in refugee camps, people who have lost their homes, relatives, their life. We ask your blessing upon all who suffer from violence or from war. May they come to know the joy of your love and that you value each one of them. Lord, bless us with your presence and the joy of knowing your love. We give thanks for our homes and our loved ones, and all who have enriched our lives by their love or their friendship. We pray for homes where there is little love or joy, or where there is neglect or abuse. Lord, bless us with your presence and the joy of knowing your love. We remember all who are ill at home or in hospital, those with long-term illnesses. And in a minute or two's silence, if we wish, we bring to you people known to us personally, in need of your healing and comfort. May they know your loving, healing presence. We rejoice in the promised gift of eternal life. And we pray for those loved ones of ours who are now departed this earthly life. May they be sharing in the joy of your promised eternal life. Merciful Father, we offer these prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us take our offering. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. So, Lord, we bring these gifts of money in your service as tokens of our giving ourselves in your service. Amen. Thank you. Now our next hymn, number 438.
Thank you.
The table is prepared. The invitation extended. Bread is prepared. Wine poured out. Come now and share the supper. Celebrate this most precious of gifts. Eat and find food for your souls. Drink and be filled to overflowing. The table is ready. The Lord is here. The offer is his. The moment is ours. Jesus is waiting to touch our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away. So let us pray. Loving God, the world you made is beautiful and full of wonder. You made us with all your creatures, and you love all that you have made. You gave us the words of your prophets, the stories of your people through the generations, and the gathered wisdom of many years. You gave us Jesus, your Son, to be born and to grow up in difficult times when there was little peace. He embraced people with your love and told stories to change us all. He healed those in pain and brought to life those who had lost hope. He made friends with anyone who would listen and loved even his enemies. For these things he suffered. For these things he died. And he was raised from death and lives with you forever. You give us your Holy Spirit to teach and to strengthen us, to remind us of Jesus, and to make us one in him. For all these gifts, we thank you. We thank you for the gifts of Jesus, which we celebrate with bread and wine this morning. Amen. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it is recorded by St. Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let us pray again. Come, Creator God, renew the face of the earth. Come, Eternal Saviour, remake us in your likeness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform these gifts of bread and wine, that Christ may be known to us in the breaking of the bread, and that we may be strengthened to serve him in the world. May we on earth be one with all Christ's people when all things are complete. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when he had given thanks, he took the cup, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So we'll serve the bread and the wine. All are welcome. Jesus welcomes anyone at his table. Doesn't matter what denomination or no denomination. Everyone is welcome by Jesus. It is up to you whether you allow the elements to pass you by or whether you choose to partake of the meal. So we'll pass the bread round, eat it individually. And then when the wine comes round, we hold the little cups and we all drink together. But remember, the choice is yours. Jesus is here. I would mention that there is gluten-free alternatives to the bread, and the wine will be non-alcoholic. Jesus gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." The blood of Christ spilt for us. So let us pray. Loving God, you have fed us generously at this table as we have remembered Jesus and rejoiced that he is with us here today. We are ready now to follow him and to be your people in the world. May your Holy Spirit show us the way, make us holy, and fill us with love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. And shall we sing our final hymn, number 663. In the words of Graham... In the words of Graham Kendrick, so let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. And the blessing of God the Creator, Jesus his Son, and of the Holy Spirit be upon us now and evermore. Amen. Oh, right. Sorry, we need to hear from the children. I hadn't realised that. It's most important.
We've been doing a lot of activities in the hall today, and the children decided that it was far better to be good and do good than to look good. And so they've been suggesting qualities that we need to have inside us, in our hearts, for us to be close to God. So they've been finding lots of letters in newspapers and magazines and building up words to stick on their love hearts. So you can have a look at those in a moment. So that's what we've been doing today.
Thank you very much. Brilliant. I'll just say the blessing once more then, shall I? If people would like to stand. So let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. And the blessing of God the Creator, Jesus his Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with us evermore. Amen.